Good morning. Good to see everybody staying for Bible class. We're in Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. We'll give everybody a second to get in and get turned. Michael is in a gospel meeting somewhere this week. I don't remember where. I think it's in Kentucky if I'm somewhere. We don't know. He's in a gospel meeting this week. All right, we've been talking about Joseph, and last week Dan Huffines taught for me. I was at CYC, and I appreciate that. 2 weeks ago, we did chapter 39, and we talked about how Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife was after him, and he refused her, and in essence, she became angry and tricked her husband and the people of the house after going after Joseph, and they put him into prison. If you will remember, I know that's 2 weeks ago, and you probably don't, but if you can try to recall back, we talked about the fact that when Joseph was accused of this crime, normally you would have been executed. But Potiphar didn't do that. And we said maybe the reasons he didn't trust his wife, maybe it's because he just really, really liked Joseph. Joseph had made him a rich man. So at the end of the class, we talked about the fact that Joseph was put into prison at Potiphar's house. And so that's where we are. Joseph is in prison, probably in the basement of Potiphar's house. And we prove that through Bible, and we're going to see that again as we go along. But just get your mind back there. Joseph is in prison. How long has he been in prison? I don't know. But when you go from the time that Joseph was sold into slavery to chapter 41, 13 years have passed. So several years passed, either in Potiphar's house working for him or in prison, all of that together, 13 years passed. So he was in Potiphar's house a few years, he was in prison a few years before he got out. So we kind of set the scene as to what's going on. So when chapter 40 opens, it says, "And it came to pass after these things," after everything that we've talked about, Joseph is in prison and all these things have happened, "that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended the Lord, their Lord, the king of Egypt." So these kings, these wealthy people, they would have servants. And these are two of the servants. Of course, a butler is going to be who's going to bring you your drink or whatever. Maybe even bring you your food, I don't know. But the baker is going to be his job. That's pretty obvious, right? What's his job? He's going to bake for you. He's going to make all of these things that you're going to eat and your other people in your house are going to eat. But the Bible says they offended their Lord. What did they do? I don't know. Got a clue. You can speculate if you want to. I read one commentary and it says that the butler allowed a fly to fall in Pharaoh's drink, and the baker didn't sift the flour enough that there was a pebble in one of the cakes that he made. Where did they come up with that? I don't have a clue. Somebody's got a vivid imagination, I guess. But either way, they offended their Lord. They upset Pharaoh. And if you were the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and you were upset, you could do whatever you wanted to with these guys. So, verse 2, "And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard." Who's the captain of the guard? Potiphar, right? Potiphar. Go back to chapter 39, verse 1. Potiphar's captain of the guard of Pharaoh. "So they put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined." That's how we proved that Joseph is in prison at Potiphar's house. And that's why we talked about if Potiphar was really, really angry at Joseph, he wouldn't want him in his house. He'd have got rid of him somewhere else. So Potiphar likes having Joseph around. All right. It says, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while." How long's a while? I don't know. Probably maybe a few years. They've been in there for a while. But don't you notice this? Potiphar, the captain of the guard, put them in the care of Joseph. We've already established that Joseph, in the last chapter, God always blessed him wherever he was. So the guy that was in charge of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners, right? Well, this baker and the butler, they're special prisoners. They're special prisoners. So Potiphar comes down and says, hey, Joseph, you got to take care of these guys. Why would he need to take care of them? Is it possible that Pharaoh would reinstate them after he cooled off? These guys were important to Pharaoh, at least at some point in time in his life, because they were his personal servants, his butler and his baker. So naturally, he would want them taken care of. Yes, they're in prison. Yes, he's upset, but he wants them taken care of, maybe because he can reinstate them. But I want you to notice that the Bible says Joseph served them. Joseph was a selfless individual. And I want us to see as we go through this, how do we get through difficult times in our lives? If we become a people that are self-focused, what happens to us when hard times come? You get to have pity parties, don't you? You get down in the dumps. If you're self-absorbed, self-consumed, when hard times come, you're not going to be able to face them. They're going to break you. They're going to get to you. They're going to just eat you up from the inside, but that's not Joseph. You see, Joseph's whole life has been a series of hard times. He's in charge of his brothers with his father. They throw him in a pit and sell him. Hard times. He goes to the top in Potiphar's house. He's falsely accused. He goes to prison. Hard times. And that just repeats itself again here. Hard times. So the only way that he got through it, he was a selfless individual. He was not consumed with doing everything that he wanted to do, and he was willing to serve others. It says, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. So, Egyptians, everything that you research, Egyptians believed in dreams. You ever had any wild dreams before? Aren't you glad that those dreams today don't necessarily mean certain things for us? I've had some wild ones before, and I'm sure glad they don't come true. But these guys, they had dreams, and these Egyptians, man, they believed in dreams. They believed that dreams were God's way, or the gods. They didn't necessarily believe in the one true God, but they believed that was the way that they were shown different facets of their life. So they believed in that, and the Bible says each one of them had a dream, and each one of them had its own interpretation. So there's two very specific dreams with two very specific outcomes that these guys experienced. It says, and Joseph came into them in the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw that they were sad. Joseph, remember, is in charge of serving these guys, of caring for these guys, making sure they're taken care of, and if Pharaoh wants to bring them right back, you know, they're ready to go. And so he comes in, and they're sad. So part of his job is to figure out why. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? I want you to notice that Joseph cared for them, and Joseph is kind, even though he's in a difficult situation. Sometimes when we find ourselves in difficult situations, don't we find it hard to be kind to other people? If you feel sorry for yourself, are you going to be kind to somebody else? No. And a lot of times it's easy to feel sorry for ourselves. But remember, Joseph is selfless. He's not a self-absorbed individual. So he wants to know what's the issue. And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter. Well, so Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Don't you notice something else? This whole story of Joseph up to this point, God's hand has been on every minute of it, hasn't it? And God has provided and cared and protected and all of these things. How many miracles have happened before chapter 40? None. Not been a miracle one. Although God's hand was on Joseph every step of the way, everything that had happened to him, nothing miraculous had happened. It just seems as if by chance this good thing happened. By chance, God providentially worked. But in the story of Joseph, the only miraculous things you will see is the dreams and the interpretation of dreams. Other than that, it's God's providential hand. So you see God here miraculously revealing dreams to these guys, and miraculously, as Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God. Miraculously, God's going to give this interpretation to Joseph. But I want you to notice something else.
Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God? If you had been in Joseph's shoes, would it have been possible for your faith to have been shaken? You tried to do right. And where are you at? Prison. You're in prison because you tried to do right. A lot of people, I don't know if I would have not, a lot of people would have turned their back on God, wouldn't they? You know, I've tried to do what you wanted me to, God. I've made the right decision. I've resisted evil. I've done all of these things, and I'm in prison. You know, maybe a lot of people would have been bitter against God. You ever known anybody bitter against God? You ever been bitter against God? If you're honest, probably all of us at one point in time in our life, maybe even just for a little while, we've been bitter against God. Doesn't seem that Joseph is that way. First thing he thinks about is God. You guys had a dream. Interpretation is blown to God. This God I serve, he can do anything. He still has his faith. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. He has a dream, and in his dream, I mean, if you look at the dream, the interpretation is, I mean, we know the end result, but the interpretation seems to be what it is, right? He's going to be reinstated. These three branches, are going to represent 3 days, and these vines, you know, his job was to bring Pharaoh a dream. Well, Joseph, verse 12, said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now, if you're in prison and you had a dream and you find out the interpretation and then it's good, you're happy, right? You're happy. You're excited. Hey, you know, he was a servant, but being Pharaoh's servant was far better than being in Pharaoh's prison. He wants to go back to where he was. So, his interpretation was good. That's important because the baker's is coming next. But Joseph interpreted this dream. God interpreted this dream through Joseph. Could Joseph had tried to make money off this? Usually, if you provide a service for anybody, what do? You want to make money, right? You want to get something out of it. Joseph did want to get something out of it. But it wasn't money. It wasn't a possession. But he did have something that he desired. He said, verse 14, but remember me when it is well with you. I drew a box around that in my Bible, when it is well with you. Joseph had an unwavering confidence in God. He was so sure of the interpretation of the dream, he told the butler, hey, when it is well with you in 3 days, when you're back where you're supposed to be, there's something I want you to do for me. Do we have that kind of faith in God? You say, well, we don't get to speak to God, and God doesn't reveal that. Has God told us things in his word that we should have that kind of unwavering faith in? He does. Why don't we? Why don't we? Good question. There's another one of those deep questions, right? Why do we struggle with that? People struggle with all sorts of things. The Bible says God loves you. Regardless, God loves you. Do we all believe that? Sometimes we don't, do we? I hope you do. Sometimes we don't. The Bible says God will forgive you. And God has forgiven you of all your past. Do you believe that? Man, so many people don't believe that, and they struggle with that, and a host of other things we can go through and look at that God says, and we don't have unwavering confidence in him because so many times we are putting the ball in our court instead of God's. So he tells him, remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in the dungeon. There's some important things there. Joseph says, hey, just remember me. I want to get out. You're in prison. You've done nothing wrong. You want to get out. It doesn't matter if you have done anything wrong. You still want to get out. But he says, hey,
I want to get out of this house. I drew a box around that. What house? Potiphar's house. That's where he's at. He says, I have done nothing here. I drew a box around here. Where was the accusation made? Where he is at? Upstairs. He said, I've done nothing here to be put into this prison. I didn't break any rules. I didn't do anything wrong. And he says, all I'm asking is in 3 days when Pharaoh reinstates you and you bring him his glass, here's what I want you to do. Hey, Pharaoh, when I was in prison, I had this dream and there was this guy there and he interpreted it and it all came true. He's got to be from God. You need to meet this guy. That's what Joseph wants. You remember when Paul appealed to Caesar? Why did Paul appeal to Caesar? He wanted to plead his case before the ruler, right? He had done nothing wrong. In the same essence, Joseph is pleading for the same thing. Hey, I've done nothing wrong. I don't deserve to be here. I want to go before the leader and I want to plead my case. I want to get out. The same thing again as Paul. All right, he says also, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. A lot of people think that's a contradiction in the Bible. Was Joseph stolen away from the land of the Hebrews? It was the land of Canaan at the time, wasn't it? But here's the thing. When God said he was going to give it to them, how sure was the promise? Absolute, right? Absolute. When God said he's going to give it to them, we looked at Isaiah 46, verse 10 this morning. God can say things in the ancient days that's not going to come to pass till now, but it's still true. So he was stolen away from the land that God was going to give the Hebrews. And he was stolen away because he was not rightly sold. It was all under false pretenses. His brothers did not have the authority to sell him. He was stolen away. All right, verse 16. I told you to notice about the butler's interpretation was good. And the butler was excited and everything was great. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, when he finds out everything's good, he's going to go back to his place, then you're excited about your dream, right? Hey, I had a dream too. My dream's very similar to that. There was a number three in my dream, and maybe in 3 days I'm going back, and I have no doubt that he has that enthusiasm within him that Joseph's going to tell him something good. He says, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kind of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. Again, I'm sure he thinks he's heard this other guy's dream. They're very similar. There's three, and Pharaoh's there, and you know, the butler, Pharaoh was drinking his drink, and here there's, but notice this, Pharaoh's not eating the baked goods, is he? This guy didn't get that point. In the butler's dream, the butler was, you know, the Pharaoh was there, and he's squeezing grapes into Pharaoh's cup. Nothing is said about the baker doing anything for Pharaoh. Joseph answered, and he said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious. Pretty precise, right? Pretty precise. Why would he want to be precise? Joseph's wanting out of prison, isn't he? A lot of times when people so-called interpret a dream today or some type of vision, they're very vague with it, aren't they? You know, so this so-and-so, it may happen, you know, whatever. Joseph's very precise. Exactly what's going to happen because this interpretation is from God. But why would Joseph tell it in a way that didn't water it down? I mean, if you're going to tell somebody, hey, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to behead you and the birds are going to eat you. That's serious, right? Why didn't he water it down? Why didn't he say, hey, guy, I've got bad news for you. It's not good and you really don't want to know. And why did he tell him this? Was that gracious of him to tell him this? Let me ask you something. If you go to the doctor and there's something wrong with you, and the doctor thinks in 3 days you're going to be at the funeral home, do you want to know? Some of you says, no, I don't want to know. I want to know. I want you to look me dead in the eye and say, I believe in 3 days you're going to be dead. That's gracious, isn't it? Why? If I know I'm going to die in 3 days, I'm going to make sure I'm ready, aren't you?
Absolutely. Make sure I'm ready. He's been gracious to this baker. He's given him a chance to get his life right with his Lord. In fact, I want you to notice something about this butler and the baker that's similar to us today. This butler and baker, they both sinned against their Lord, right? They did something wrong. The Bible doesn't tell us what it is, and it really doesn't make any difference. But they both did something wrong with our Lord, and they both deserve punishment for it. The Lord pardoned one, and the Lord punished one. Does that sound similar today? What is it Jesus says on the day of judgment? I'm going to say to those on the right hand one thing, and it's good. And I'm going to say to those on the left hand another thing, and it's bad. So you see, in essence, a picture of judgment here. We've all sinned against our Lord, haven't we? Every single one of us. Some of us are going to be pardoned. Some of us are going to be punished. And we see that all throughout the Bible. And it's the same picture that's painted here. But Joseph did not water it down. And you and I, when it comes to the Word of God, can we ever water it down? A lot of people do, right? We can speak the truth in love, and that is biblical. We have to speak the truth in love, but we don't leave either one of those out, do we? Some people speak the truth, and it's harsh and unloving and unmerciful. And some people just speak the love, and they leave out the truth. Joseph did both. He did both. He told exactly what God wanted him to say, but I have no doubt that he did it in a loving manner. And so we need to understand that when it comes to us as Christians today. We've got to be loving and gracious to people. Talk about our Wednesday night class, these seven churches. Ephesus had the truth and no love. Thyatira, they had love and not as much truth. And we talked about how Satan will use those things against us. And that's the same here in this. It's got to be truth and it's got to be love. And it's all got to be tied together. All right, verse 20. It says, "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants." So Pharaoh has a birthday. Now, can you just imagine these people? And you've read enough Bible and all these things. When it comes to a celebration, they celebrate, don't they? They go big. They go big. And you read about all these kings having parties for 6 months and all of these things. So I have no doubt that his birthday is a big celebration. He makes a feast for all his servants. And notice, this is on the third day, just like Joseph said. And it says he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. So he brings them out of prison. And on his birthday, he's going to make a show of this. He's going to make a show. It says, "Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand," just like Joseph said he would. "But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him." Everything that Joseph said would happen, it happened exactly the way that he said it would happen. But look at this last verse. This last verse is a hard one. It says, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." I don't understand how that's possible, do you? You find yourself in prison for something that you feel like you shouldn't even be there. I'm sure the butler didn't feel like he should be there, neither did the baker. And you have these wild dreams, and this man Joseph interprets both of those dreams. And I'm not talking about 6 months later it came to be. I'm not talking about a year later. 3 days later, exactly what he said would happen, happened, and you just don't remember him. What would cause that? Dementia? No, we're not talking about that. Ingratitude. A sense of entitlement. And don't we have that in society today? We have a lot of ungrateful, entitled people walking around this world today, and they feel like they are owed everything, and they don't think about anybody else before them, and that's exactly what this guy was. He wasn't grateful for what Joseph did. He should have been so excited. The first thing he did was to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. But that's not what he did. I want you to think about this from Joseph's perspective. I don't know that we'll get into chapter 41, but I want you to read just the first verse. "Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 full years. Pharaoh has a dream, and that's going to bring about the butler remembering Joseph all of a sudden. But for two full years, Joseph is sitting there in that prison, and this butler has forgot to say anything whatsoever. You ever get your hopes up about something in life? You know, you think that finally the page is going to turn, and what you have wanted and prayed about and needed to happen in your life, you think it's finally going to happen. You see, Joseph, perhaps he's been in prison for several years before he interprets these dreams. Remember, it's 13 years from the time he's sold into slavery to the time he stands before Pharaoh. 2 years passes between the time that he interpreted the dreams and Pharaoh has a dream. So you've got 11 years that you've got to account for in Potiphar's house and in prison. So he's been in there for years. And then he thinks that he's finally going to get out. And he's done what God wanted him to do again. The interpretation belonged to God. He spoke the word of God exactly the way it was. And he has high hopes. And those hopes are dashed again. How do you get through that? How do you live a life where that every time that you think things are going to go your way and it feels like the rug's been jerked out from under you and you have to go right back down? How do you live that life? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Verse 12, he says, I have learned how to abound and to be abased. I've learned how to be hungry and how to be full. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How did Joseph deal with these ups and downs of life without just getting to the point of being just completely depressed and losing his faith? How do you do that? There's only one way I know to do it. You got to live one day at a time, right? If you're always worried about yesterday, what is that? That's depression, right? You're depressed about what has happened to me. If you're always thinking about tomorrow, what is that? That's anxiety, right? Because you can't control that, and in your mind, you're trying to figure out a way to control that, so you're anxious about it, and how do you combat that? Philippians 3:13, Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and press forward to those things which are ahead. In order to not be depressed, the Apostle Paul says, I've got to forget what's behind me. Could he have been depressed about what was behind him? He was a persecutor and a murderer of Christians. If he had focused on the negative in his past, what would he have done? He would have been a miserable individual. He says, I got to let that go. I got to let that go, and I got to live for today. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6 when he talked about this whole idea of this worry and anxiety and depression and all of these things? Matthew 6:34, he says, don't what? Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. He says, you've got enough on your plate today. Let go of yesterday. It's gone. You can't change a thing about yesterday. You say, well, that's easier said than done. I get that. But you can't change a thing. Joseph had to let go of yesterday. If Joseph would have sat in that prison cell and thought about all of the injustices that had been done to him, he would have been the most miserable individual on the face of the earth. If Joseph had sat in that prison cell for two full years wondering why the baker, you know, is not saying something about him, he would have been so anxious. He would have been a miserable individual. Joseph had to learn to live one day at a time. You wake up, you get through that day. You go to bed and you wake up the next day, and what do? You get through that day and let it be what it's going to be. Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3 that God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning is a prospect of being a better day. And so when we live one day at a time, we can get ourselves to perhaps to see that. Let go of yesterday, quit worrying about tomorrow, and live one day at a time. James says, and we use this verse so many times, but it fits so perfectly right here. James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You think Joseph was a patient individual? He had to be, didn't he? His faith has been tested constantly through his life. And here he finds himself once again being tested. And to me, like I said, verse 23 is a depressing verse. When this butler doesn't remember him,
I mean, it's like I said, the air, somebody popped your balloon, everything just comes crashing down, and your hopes of getting out are dashed. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Testing of your faith produces patience. Did Joseph need to get stronger? What was he about to have to do? He was about to have to be in charge of the world, in a sense, right? He's going to become second in command under Pharaoh, and Egypt is the world power, and people are going to come from all over the round to come and to get food, and God is preparing him for this leadership position that is amazing and awesome above our minds can even fathom. He's got to get stronger. How do you get stronger? Difficulties. And God allowed him to go through that to make him into the man that he needed to be in order that he could do what he needed to do. So when you're going through difficulties in your life, look at it that way. God may be molding you into something that you can't see right now, but that he needs you to do. And those difficulties may get you to the point that you're able to see that through and be the person, man or woman, that God needs you to be. So Joseph can teach us a lot of lessons, and we need to learn from those lessons. I'm not going to start chapter 41. We're out of time, but I appreciate your attention.